Okay. Yeah, we made it out of Joshua, which is, I hate to rush through like that, but it came to me that we're just going through a survey. I get caught up in the stuff that I read. It's like, we'd still be in Joshua. So just no way that we can hit everything that's in there. And that's only the stuff that I see. You know, you guys might see something else you want to look at. There's other things in there that that I didn't see.
Frank, you're in charge.
So we're going to go pick up a little bit. And I won't try to hit so many different things. But what I did want to do is just to kind of refocus so we can find out when we go through this, what we're trying to do is give you a bird's eye view of God's program. So anytime you pick up the book, you'll know exactly where you are and exactly what's going on. That way you'll understand, you know, like, so you may not understand everything in it, but you'll know that's not me. Like we have time passed. Mm-hmm. Anytime you pick up the book and if it's not Romans to Philemon, you know it's what?
Time
passed. And you know it's for who?
Gentiles.
For the Jews. And if you pick it up and it's Hebrews to Revelation, you know it's what?
Gentiles.
Ages to come.
Or ages to come.
And it's Jews.
Jews.
So just that information right there, you're 50% ahead of the curve.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when you go back and you find out what God is doing back here in time past, now you're 95% ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. And what God is doing, his goal is this. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 3. Matter of fact, stop in Acts 1, then Acts 3.
I already knew that.
All right.
Okay. All right. Head of the class.
You're smart,
man. I did hear the
Yeah, make sure
you
got no legs.
Right.
We've been here, Lawrence, when they had legs, right?
Yeah.
Were you here, Cherry?
Yeah.
Somebody came in here.
Yeah, he wanted to show us something.
Yeah.
I tell you, there's never been more tithing in this building. He looked real hard, and they just sat down on the back, and I kept doing the class, and then we paused for a minute, and he said, I can't remember what he said, but he got down on his knees, and he had a little case with him, a little bag with him, and he started talking about how needy he was or whatever he was talking about, and then he said, let me show you what's in this bag.
Frank said it.
And Frank led the charge there. He says, no, we don't want to see what's in the bag. And everybody started pulling out $20. About four or five of us guys did, and we went and gave him the money and told him to leave.
Well, I bet you he said, I got over on him.
Yeah, we didn't know what was in that bag, but we didn't want to see it.
Didn't want to see it.
What did you think was in the bag?
Well, there wasn't no telling. He just walked in.
A money collector, huh?
Yeah, he's the money collector.
That's
sorry, Frank, didn't mean that.
Oh, that's all right. Karen can edit this out. Acts 1 and Acts 3. Okay. And just like I said, back here, the goal is this kingdom right here, is the kingdom. The same kingdom that we were going through and that we find out in Acts that they rejected. Acts 1. When the Lord leaves, he says, 1 and 6, the disciples, when they therefore were come together, apostles rather, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time do what?
Restore
again the kingdom to Israel. That's what they asked about. Restore. If you restore something, that means at one time you had it. He said, restore again the kingdom to Israel. That doesn't make us spiritual Jews today, because when he left, they want to know, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? We're not spiritual Jews. We don't resume their program. We don't. If we do, we usurp it. I remember reading something that they said, if we bring in the kingdom today, we'll have to back it in, because the Lord has moved on from that. He's put them aside for right now. And that kingdom, and really, that kingdom started, it would have started here. But we know that he did what?
He gave it up.
He gave it up. That's exactly what he did. He gave it up. Mm-hmm. And the Lord, when we were going through there, his goal was to get it back. Mm-hmm. We talked about he's coming to repossess the repo, repossess it. So he comes through Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and what he's doing is really developing a seed line until the seed singular comes. And Acts 3. So all through here, we find out verse, I believe Ed read this last week too. Verse Acts 3, verse 17, 14. But ye denied the 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. When the Lord comes, I think Roy said it last week, they were looking for a hero. But the thing is, what they didn't account on is, in Luke, he says this. He says, the Lord hath raised up a horn of salvation. And he says, to deliver us from our enemies and all those that hate us. That's what they saw. But what they didn't see was that he had to make a people fit to be a kingdom of priests. And so they had to be redeemed. That's what they didn't see, is that he had to work on them too. They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall deliver them from his enemies. That was just half of it. But he shall save his
people from their sins.
From their what?
From their sins.
From their sins. You said it last week that they thought they were naturally righteous, as Abraham's seed, but they weren't. So he says that in verse 18, but he showed those things which God had, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The times of restitution is this. And he said, they've been talking about this since what? Well, it's not up there. Since the world began. Since the world began, they've been talking about that. All of them. All the prophets been talking about that over there. All right. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will hear not that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise what?
Foretold of these days.
That's what all the prophets, the goal was the kingdom. Not the body of Christ. Not heaven. A kingdom on earth. A land. The land that, what you said it last week, that the land that was promised to Abraham. The kingdom. That's what they were talking about right there. Canaan. The kingdom. That's where it is. He says all the prophets talk about that. And so when we go back here, that's what we have to have in mind, is God is establishing his kingdom on earth. And when they come through here, Isaac, Jacob, he's building the seed up. Can't have a king without, can't have a kingdom without subjects, servants. Can't have the kingdom of priests without priests. So he brings them in here. Moses, we found out Moses. Only problem we found out is that they went, they sought it as it were, not by faith, but the scripture said as it were by the works of the law. They sought it by their performance. And God says, you want to perform? Here's my standard, the law. And he says, if you don't do it, then I'll do this. If you do it, then I'll do this. And we come through to Joshua. We found out what Joshua did. And when he went through, look at Joshua, the last chapter, 24, I believe. Now, if you ever, and the reason that this, it may seem a little drudgery, but when you sit down and talk to people, when you try to show them about grace, you're going to need this information. You're going to have it, because somewhere they're stuck back here. Somewhere. Mm-hmm. They may make it up to the Gospels, but they may be stuck right there. If you can show them, this is what was going on back here. It makes perfect sense. Progress. Like when Aquila and Priscilla, they met Apollos. Mm-hmm. He was eloquent. He was mighty. But he only knew the baptism of John.
Right.
And they took unto him, and they expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. Akrabos. You know what? They showed him how to hit the bullseye. It's like, you sharp. But let me show you something. And you bring him up to speed. And you're gonna, if you don't know, I'm in a class with preachers right now. Deacons, preachers. And you go over these things and then you realize, you know what? I have to back up. I have to back up because they don't know what I'm talking about. We should be, at the time where you should be teachers, you have one teach you again what be the first oracles of God. What's way back here? So it's important, if you're going to teach them or witness to them, you got to know what's going on. You got to have some idea what's going on back here. Joshua. And we found out how many times, I think Joshua said it four times, and then he says, you want to serve the Lord? We will serve the Lord. Verse 24:14, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Look at verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And verse 15, they says, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord, him and his house. And they said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord. Look at verse 18. And the Lord drave out, from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Verse 21. And all and the people said unto Joshua,
Nay, we will serve the Lord.
Look at 24. And the people said unto Joshua,
Lord,
will we serve? And his voice,
will we obey?
Over and over again. And what Joshua does is he rehearsed this in their ears. The law, the performance. He's saying, don't forget you under the contract. And they says, yeah, we're gonna do it. We're still keeping up our end of the bargain. We went through, and you know how the Lord says? He says, not one thing failed that I promised. Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they got it. They got that land. Matter of fact, it's, where is it? Ed? Where you, I don't think that's it. Yeah, that's it. Right here. When he divided that land up, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, where's one I'm missing? 12. Every one of them got the land that he promised them. He said, not one thing failed. He's you got it. And they still had land that they hadn't conquered. That's a guy said this, and I don't know how true it is. So I'm just going to repeat it, and I have to check it out too. But he says, even though they got that land, it was only about 10% of what the Lord had promised them.
Because he did say all the way from the Euphrates.
Right, and you can see that it's not all of it.
No, not
they had a lot more to go, but they had settled. What they were going to do is get in that little area, that'd be his headquarters, and then they would go out from there to the nations and keep going. That was God's aim. But first, Judges. Now we move into Judges. Verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah will go up. Verse 4. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. Look at verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Now, remember last week when I said, remember that about the chariots of iron? The Lord has just conquered all these nations. He just came out of Egypt. Do you think he's having a problem with chariots of iron?
No.
You know what the problem is? They begin to doubt. They begin to doubt God. So when they saw it, they says, well, we can't take that one. Like they were doing it. Those verses we saw, it said, the Lord your God will fight for you. Mm-hmm. But when they saw it, they says, well, we can't take them. Just like when they came in, the 10 spies, they said, we can do it. Caleb and Joshua said, we'd be well able. But the 10 spies, they says, we're over there and we see them and we're like grasshoppers. He says, there's no way we can do it because they look at them. So when he says they couldn't do it because the chariots of iron, and they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Here we go. And the children of Benjamin did what?
Did not drive out
the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Israel in children of Benjamin in Jerusalem until this day. Here we go. You got the seeds now sprouting up. Where, what did the Lord tell them to do?
Utterly
destroy them. Get rid of them. All of them. Utterly means everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they go in. First they doubt. First Joshua makes a pact with the leader. Joshua makes a pact where, do you remember that? When they came and said, we your servants from afar, and we come to, and he says, well, we swear by God that we won't kill you. Then they found out, you know what? They tricked him. And he said, well, why you do that to me? The question should have been, why didn't you seek the counsel of the Lord? But Joshua didn't do it. Now, you see it sprouting up here. They say, well, we can't take the chariots of iron. So they still there. They don't conquer that land. Now, Benjamin, he doesn't drive out the Jebusites. Verse 23. And the house of Joseph sent to descry or spy out Bethel. Now, the name of the city before was Luz. Keep that in mind. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showeth them the entrance of the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family, and the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city. And call the name thereof what?
Love.
Which is the name thereof unto this day. Now you don't see that, do you? What does Bethel mean? House of God. Now, remember back, the city was Luz, and when Jacob got it, he changed the name to Bethel. Mm-hmm. All right. Hold your hand there, Judges. Yes. Genesis. Genesis, I believe, is 28. Yes, Genesis 28.
Mm-hmm.
28:19, right. Jacob has the dream. He see the angels ascending and descending in this place. And night 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. So we see Jacob changed that city because the dream he had, God was in that city. Right? Mm-hmm. All right, now flip back to Judges. Keep in mind now, the Lord told them to do what? Destroy. Destroy everything. Utterly destroy them, right? Mm-hmm. And they go into the city. They find the man. I turn back to Genesis. I'm sorry. Judges. They let the man go in verse 25. But they let the man go and all his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Now,
he changed it back.
Mm-hmm. We don't get the significance of that because here is God in his repossession of his kingdom. He's telling them to go in and take this land back from me. House of God. This is the house of God. Go take it. And he goes in, and instead of doing what the Lord says do, they let the man go, and he goes off and does what? He didn't go off and serve the Lord. He goes off and he built the same thing that the Jews were supposed to tear down. So he go back, and if you ever study cities in the scripture, most of them, that's where you see, well, Cain. When Cain, he drove Cain out from the presence of the Lord, and Cain went out, he told Cain to be a wanderer and a vagabond. And he goes right out and does what?
Builds a city.
He's supposed to be out in the land of Nod, and I guess Cain says, I'll show you. He builds a city, and he builds a name for himself. That's what the tower, that's what that tower was. He said, let us do what? Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered above the face of the earth. It's always in opposition to God. And when Joshua does this, he goes out, and instead of killing this man and all he has, this man leaves out. And now we have the seeds of rebellion being planted all over again in the land.
Yeah, because isn't the land of the Hittites part of the land that God...
The same land. So, you know what? It's, you can see here, they're headed downhill. Mm-hmm. Fast. So, look at verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Tanakh and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Even when they had the ability to drive them out, they still didn't do it. The Canaanites. Lawrence, what's wrong with the Canaanites? You remember? You don't remember what's wrong with the Canaanites? Do we need to look at the Canaanites again?
Let's look at the Canaanites.
All right. Look at Deuteronomy.
Sacrificing children.
They did a whole, one of many things, right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Deuteronomy, I believe it would be chapter 7. Not quite. When the Lord thy God, 7:1 says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now that doesn't tell us what the Canaanites did, and I wish I could find that that passage. I know we read that passage last. You know, maybe it was in Exodus. I won't spend too much time looking for it. If I can't find it in a couple of minutes, then we'll just move on. It may come back to me. No, I can't find it. No. Okay, well, let's go back to Judges. If it comes back to me, we can go back and look at it. That's Leviticus. Leviticus 18.
Leviticus
18. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak, Leviticus 18:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, ye shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother thou shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she is born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are near kinswomen. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness besides the other in her lifetime. In other words, you know what? You don't take a wife, then marry her sister to make her mad. You see, right now, a bunch of incestuous relationships. Okay. Verse 19. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. So not only do you don't get out of your family, don't go to your neighbor.
Taking all the fun out of it.
So he says, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in some of these things the nations,
all these things,
the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You will never forget what's wrong with the Canaanites now.
But they kept them as servants and as tithers, as
right.
People to give them tax or money.
Tribute, right, to pay tribute. So, these are the people when they go into them and they say, okay, you can stay. You know what I thought about when I was reading this? Is TV. I thought, you know what? If you take Lucas, take your granddaughters, whoever, take your son, your grandson, whoever, and sit down and watch TV, you won't go 5 minutes without feeling embarrassment.
Exactly. Yeah. That is so true.
You can't do it.
Every show.
Every single show, every channel, you can't watch a commercial.
Right. That's a nail on the head there.
Without, it's embarrassing. In Romans, it says, what fruit had you therein in those things now that you ashamed. You cannot, don't let it be after 10 o'clock. But I find myself, you know what, you flip in channels and you flip back.
Yeah.
You're like, wow. And you say, this is wickedness. And your flesh likes it. And he says, well, did you really see that? And you know you saw that. Move on. You know. But you sit there and you say, wow, what have we come to? But that comes just compromise. Compromise. When Joshua, when he told me, he meant what he said. Go in and utterly destroy them. He says, because if you don't, they're going to turn your heart away from me to serve other gods. And that's exactly what will happen. And it will happen to us. Today, if we don't go in, if, like the scriptures say, if a man purge himself from these, if you don't mortify the deeds of the flesh, then you know what? We'll be just like living with the Canaanites.
And the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Perizzites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. We have to, like Paul said, he said, we have to perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. And that just comes by, you know what, taking him at his word. He said, you know what, you once were like that. And here's Joshua. They start making league, showing them mercy, tolerating them. And so don't think about it when you look up 5 years from now and then your grandson is showing the fruit of things that you don't want to see in him. Or your granddaughter. But now, it's so far gone now. It's almost, you don't know how to counter it. But you know what? We still have to take God at his word. And you know what? Just keep pumping that word in them. Because that's what's going to make the change, is the Lord is working in them. That's what's going to make the change in us, is the Lord working in us. Amen. And you know what? That's when I sit down and I get in those situations, I say, you know what? Renew.
Amen.
Renew your mind.
That's true.
Yeah. Say, you don't have to do that. You don't have to look at that. Turn on this. You know what? This is what the Romans did. The reason the Romans had those games, the Olympiad games, is to entertain the people while they killed the Christians.
Right.
That's what they did. To counter, the Christians had so much influence, they began to punish them even more so. Feed them to the lions. And what they did was they sat around and they had the sporting events to take the people's mind off of the effect that Christianity was having. And they would take those Christians in there and kill them. So the people became more excited with the sporting event than what the message that the Christians were giving on the outside. So they would say, go get them. Go get some more. And then they get them in there. And then it wasn't converting them to Christianity. It was distracting them while they try to stamp it out.
Sounds but, like today. Yeah. In the churches that are
in the That's nothing new. It just goes around and comes back on a different level. Mm-hmm. But he says in Joshua, Judges, I'm sorry. Where were we? Chapter... Yeah, Judges 1. He says, yeah, all right, 28. And it came to pass when Israel was strong, 128, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. What's wrong with the Canaanites, Lawrence? Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol. But the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, or of Alab, nor of Achzib, nor of Helba, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob. That's a lot of cities that they're not driving those people out of. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth-Anath. But he dwelt among who? The Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh and of Beth-Anath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. Now, here we have, if you read over this, you miss it. But here we have, look at Leviticus 26. Hold your hand in Judges. Look at Leviticus 26. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning of you, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it, and I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall what?
Reign over you.
And ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And it goes on and on. It's just describe some things that we're going to read about right here. This is the contract. He says, when you turn away, all of a sudden now the clauses begin to kick in. And he says in verse 34, he says, they forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. Chapter 2, he says, when they send them into Egypt, to Bochim, to Gilgal, he says in verse 2, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim. And they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Bochim means weeper, weeping, weepers. All right. Look at verse 11 of that same chapter.
Chapter what?
Chapter 2, verse 11.
Leviticus.
Judges. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said. When did he say that? We just read it.
Yeah.
We just read it. He says, and as the Lord has sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Now, here's the fine print again. The Lord is still gracious. He says, nevertheless, what?
The Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that swore them.
And yet, they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so.
Gosh, it's hard to believe that the Jews have these scriptures.
Oh, yeah.
These are examples for them as to what they always did and how they always ignored God and still doing it.
So when we get over, and you read it, he says, all day long have I stretched forth my hand to a disobedient and gainsaying nation, people. All day long.
from Egypt all the way up until Acts. Past Acts, Paul's day. He says all day long, have I stretched forth my hand to a disobedient and gainsaying people. So that's a good picture of the unregenerate man. The unsaved man, there's no end to what he would do. There's no limit to his wretchedness. Like Paul said, oh wretched man that I am. Even though he may seem religious on the outside, like the Lord said, he's a whitewashed sepulcher. Inside is full of dead men's bones. And he's rotten. He's rotten to the core. So when you meet him, when you meet him out there, he might carry a Bible, he might go to church, sing in the choir, usher, deacon. But you know, if he never trusted the Lord, you know you're dealing with the devil. And he'll say he loves God, like Timothy. In 2 Timothy, he says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. He said, men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient. All those things. You know what he's talking about?
Us.
Us.
Because we mixed with the Canaanites.
Because we mixed with the... He said, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That could be... Right. That could be me. That could be you. If we don't take heed to his word. And you can, you know... And you know what? It could happen.
And
because you know what works in us? The love of Christ. Not our love for Christ, the love of Christ is what constrains us. Because we see, you know what, if he did this and he asked me for my body, and if you turn it over to him, he'll do it. Amen. He'll do it. The problem with them is they couldn't do it. they were unregenerate. But they sought it by works. We are saved. We have it. We have the Holy Spirit in us. So when he asks us for our bodies, you can't say, I can't do that. Or you can. That's why he says, I beseech you. I beg you to give it to me. You ever gave your body to the Lord?
Hundreds of times.
You know, I used to think it was a one-time deal. But it's not. It's, you know what? It's a situation by situation. Moment by moment. You know what? If you want to, you know what? You want to cuss that man out? And he says, give it to me now. You got a choice right there. You say, you won't say, let me get this one in, Lord. Then I'll do it. But it's moment by moment. And you know the verse is there because he'll say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And it's going to come in there. And then you got a choice right there. Do I yield to his word? Or do I give him these string of four letters that I'm thinking of? You got a choice right there. And then you can always, you yield or you yield.
Either way you learn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just can I say this?
But the Jews never learned, did they?
They never.
Never.
Never. Only a little, you had a little flock of believers, the little flock that that.
But I mean, he's going to still, even going through tribulation and everything, they don't learn. Because he's going to put it on their hearts himself. So it's like we usually look at when we hit rock bottom, we'll figure it out and come back up. They don't ever, to me, they've been at rock bottom the whole time. They never seem to.
Well, that's the problem is you don't think you're at rock bottom. You're starting off at rock bottom. But
well,
you don't.
You have to admit, now, he let him off the hook a lot.
He did.
All the way, so.
But that's why when we come back here, he says, I'm doing this to prove you.
In other words, he wants to show you, I want to show you, you at rock bottom. And he says, you know what? Who shall we say sent me? He said, tell them I am that I am. I am I'm whatever you need me to be. That's who I am. And when they get through, they come through there, we don't have no water. We don't have no food. I'm the water. I'm the food. Hit the rock. Get the manna. And they come through. Judges. I'm your conquering hero. Jehovah Nissi. I'm here. The Lord your banner. I'm going to fight for you. Not you. I will fight for you. They go through. They make league. They make mercy with the inhabitants of the land. They make covenants with them. They didn't do what he said do. Mm-hmm. They're at rock bottom. And he shows them. He's going to get through here. And we'll find out. Because they need a redeemer. They need a redeemer. Just like they had this redeemer. Deliverer. But he says, the Lord your God shall raise up another prophet like unto me. That's the man right there. The man. And we all need him. Amen. Now we'll find out next week. Well, there's our time. I actually went over time. But we'll pick up there and go through Judges. And find out just how bad they really were. Let's pray and we'll stop there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we just pray that as we leave here, just give us a heart to continue to read, to continue to study. And Lord, most of all, to give us a heart to yield to you, to present our bodies as living sacrifices. That's what you ask for. Help us to do that, to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.